Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is for February 2026. Welcome to this broadcast. You're in for an eye-opening broadcast, and I think a very interesting program. We're going to talk to Chris Milligan in just a minute. Before I go there, though, don't forget tomorrow being Thursday. Lord willing, we'll be in office all day tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. We're here to talk to you, say hi to you, answer questions if I can. If you want to place an order, you can do that also, or give donation, whatever. Tomorrow's 9 to 4 Eastern. We would love to hear from you, and I mean that. Now, if you don't have long distance, don't let that stop you. You can call 800-777-4403, 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, please use our toll line, 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. We want to hear from you, and I do mean that. Tomorrow between 9 and 4, I would love to talk to you about anything you might want to talk about, or just say hi, whatever you want to do. Now, I'm still planning on not being here next week. I have guest host all next week. You're not going to miss me, I promise. Chris will be in office next Thursday. I'm not real sure what's happening with me just yet. They haven't confirmed the surgery I was going to have in Pittsburgh on the mouth surgery. That's not been confirmed. I won't know till tomorrow. Something, you know, who knows? It's up in the air yet. But nonetheless, next week, if I'm not here, I promise you, you'll be well taken care of. You won't miss me at all. So please don't miss the broadcast next week. Stay tuned for that. It's important that we try to keep this thing going. And by the grace of God, reach all the people we can, folks, with truth. Our nation has been deceived for so long and so completely. From the womb to the tomb, they pretty much control our thoughts. They control our education. They control our income by taxation in every other way possible, with fiat currency. All these folks, things are going on. Being a Vietnam-era veteran, a lot of things I look back on now, I see that I was duped into by a blind patriotic idolatry. But I didn't know. The most men didn't. But tonight we're going to talk to Chris Milligan. I want to tell you a little bit about Chris. I'm going to read a few things about him. Chris is a writer, researcher, and publisher whose father was in the Office of Strategic Services, that's OSS, military intelligence, and later was in the CIA, rising to branch chief, head of intelligence analysis for East Asia. His father told Chris some things that he didn't understand in the late 60s. These revelations led to over 30 years of research into the subjects of the CIA, drugs, clandestine operations, conspiracy theory, and secret societies. Chris has a publishing house, folks, named Trine, T-R-I-N-E, Trine Day, brought Anthony Sutton's underground classic, America's Secret Establishment, an introduction to the Order of Skull and Bones to a wider audience. Published a book, Expendable Elite, by Lieutenant Colonel Dan Marvin, a tale of Special Forces Commander and his tangles with the CIA. And, folks, he goes on from there. Most recent book is Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. Now, this has been several years ago, folks, back in 2004, I think it is. But he's in 2000, he produced two CIA drug symposiums. And this man is a whistleblower, a researcher. He's out in the field, so to speak, in the front lines, doing his dead level best to get the word out. Now, Chris and I'm just about a year older than he is, believe it or not. So both of us have got a few years on us and a little gray around the muzzle. But by the grace of God, we've maybe learned some things and received some knowledge and wisdom through all these things that we've seen and done. And Chris, are you there?
Absolutely.
It is good to have you, sir. And I mean, that makes me feel better that you got some years on you, because I know you've been through a lot of things. You've seen a lot of things. And I understand now why your daddy was with the OSS, which was, of course, during World War II. My dad was a World War II veteran also. He passed away in 2016 at 91 years old. He was a wounded veteran and also a prisoner of war. But before he passed away, he realized some things himself that bothered him that he didn't know in his young age. Most of us didn't. But thank you for taking time to join us tonight, and thank you for having the audacity and the courage to step into this type of study and information and have the nerve to share it. Thank you so much for that, Chris.
Well, my pleasure. You know, if we don't know the perfidy we're in, how are we ever going to get out of it?
That's very true. Very true. And tell the folks a little bit about yourself, Chris. I mean, how you got involved with all this. Just give us a bit of background where Chris come from and what he does now.
Well, like I say, you know, my daddy told me some stuff I didn't understand, okay? And it's very interesting growing up as an intelligence brat, you know? We moved around a bit, the first time I remember, we were in Nashville, and my older brother and my older sister, they were sitting there in the hallway, and we were talking, and my older brother says, you know, I think Dad works for the CIA. And I was 8 years old, you know, didn't mean much to me. I was into baseball. But then later on, probably about 64, 65, something like that, my dad asked me what I thought of the Vietnam War. And, you know, I gave him a flip teenage answer. I told him, I says, well, you've got some sacks of hand grenades, and you got some rice patties, and you go throw the hand grenades and win it for the good guys wearing the white hats. You know, I'd been raised on John Wayne and World War II, you know. And so my dad looked at me and says, well, we had to have a talk. And I just, you know, went on with my life and went away to college and got married and all kinds of different things. And the day before my 20th birthday, I go to the family house, and I figure, you know, we're going to have cake and ice cream and stuff like that. And my dad, when I get there in a little while, my dad looks at me and says, it's time for that talk. And he had a professor from Vanderbilt there, Dr. D.F. Fleming, was visiting him. And so we went into what I called my little brother's room, and my dad and I sat on these chairs, and the professor sat on the bed there. And then my dad looked at me, and he said, the Vietnam War is about drugs. There's these secret societies behind it. And so I'm thinking he's talking about the mafia, you know. This is 1969, and then he says, and communism's all a sham. These same secret societies are behind it. It's all a big game. Okay, at that point in time, he lost me. I thought my daddy was nuts. I'd been stuffed under the desk because the Ruskies were going to bomb us.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I remember those things. I do. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, they kept on talking, and I was still thinking about that for quite a while. And but then they started telling me all about my dad's intelligence career, which had basically started in the 30s when he was an 18-year-old kid as an exchange student to the University of Shanghai. And then he got... he graduated in 39, and he was supposed to go to some college in Switzerland about international relations. But, you know, there was something going on in Europe in 39, and so he got as far as the basement of the Library of Congress under Archibald MacLeish, and they gave him a desk, and they said, "We want you to become an expert on the Philippines." So... He started doing that, and then Wild Bill Donovan walked in, and he started an organization called Coordinator of Information, and COI, and then that morphed into OSS, and then Dad was in OSS, and then he got drafted, and OSS said, "Great, you're still going to work for us, but we're going to put you into military intelligence, and we're going to put you on MacArthur's staff, and we want you to report on MacArthur and Willoughby, his top aide, because they didn't completely trust them." And
I'll stop for just a second. MacArthur was hailed as a war hero. But I do know for a fact the establishment turned on him there at last. But go ahead.
Well, you know, Dad started working with the guerrillas a whole bunch, and he went in with the guerrillas into Manila way before the American troops, and was helping the guerrillas set up their government and their diplomatic mission and putting the collaborators in jail. And MacArthur had been raised in the Philippines, and so when he finally gets to Manila, there's a bunch of his childhood friends in jail, and he didn't like that. And so he asked around to see who was responsible, and they said, "My dad." And so MacArthur said, "Get rid of Milligan." And they moved my dad to be head of research and analysis for the invasion of Japan, and they brought in a gentleman by the name of Ed Lansdale to take my dad's place. It was a guy who was also...
Was this invasion of Japan before World War II?
No, this was, the final battle, them sending the nuclear bombs and everything. I mean, he told me, I don't know how many times he told me, he says, you know, we didn't get the same deal that we had before the bombs is the same deal that we had after the bombs. And so he then told me, he said, he went through a couple of alphas and ended up in the CIA, and we were living in Fairfax there. I was born in D.C., and then they needed somebody to talk to Sukarno. So, and my dad he wasn't your typical CIA Ivy League guy. He'd been born in Montana and raised in Oregon and Washington. And so they sent the whole family out there to Sukarno. So one of my very first jobs was being a CIA front, as a little kid. And so then...
I don't want to keep interrupting, but what do you mean CIA front? What did you do as a child as a CIA front?
Well, I was just a family because my dad, he had supposedly left the CIA and had set up a book company, a Pacific Book Company of Jakarta, New York. And so, I was the family, the whole family, he wasn't supposed to be quote-unquote working for the CIA, so it was just a commercial venture. I mean nobody talked to me about anything. I was just a little kid. And then in 1950, so we went over to Indonesia and then came back, and then Dad just did these odd jobs around. He did took the chicken coop and turned it into an office, and I mean, he had a TV show in D.C. and just different things. And then in 1956, he was told we were told he was going to go write a book about the church in Southeast Asia, and it was actually a trip that he had done for the agency, and he met with Lansdale again and wrote a report, and Lansdale was recalled. And then when he got back, and all of a sudden things changed. The farm where we were living, they put that up for sale. We were going to move to Rochester, but then that didn't happen, so we moved to another house there in Fairfax. And then all of a sudden, Dad was made the vice president of a college in Tennessee. And wow. So we wow. moved to Tennessee. And we were there for a couple of years, or not even quite 2 years, and then in the middle of the school year, the president of the college quit. My dad, and they asked my dad to be president, and he said no and quit. Sold the house for $15 over the contract and moved the whole family out to Oregon. And what he told me later on during this meeting with this professor, because, I mean, this was the first time in his career had ever been mentioned in the house, was that he left the agency soft in 57 and hard in 59. And it was because that he had, because of his position and where he'd been, he had knowledge of narcotics trafficking and would have to continue to have knowledge of that. And he said he wouldn't do that. And they offered him a huge big bribe of real estate, Seven Corners and Tyson's Corners around D.C., and, you know, part ownership in it all. But he turned them down. And I was really, really proud of my dad when he told me that, and I figured out what it meant. And then after they got done telling me about his intelligence career, they started this thing, which again didn't compute for me. They started telling me that they, quote unquote, they were playing out a lose scenario in Vietnam, which, it's the day before my 20th birthday. They were still trying to, send me, draft me to go to Vietnam and kill people, but they were, you had to kill them with rules, and that didn't compute.
Right.
And then my dad and this professor are telling me they're playing out a lose scenario in Vietnam, which, for a 19, 20-year-old kid, it doesn't make any sense,
Right.
And so I just, I remember my dad all of a sudden just stopped in mid-sentence. He was talking about propaganda and sway pieces, and he just stopped in mid-sentence, and because it became very apparent that I had no idea of what he was talking about, And so...
That's a big swallow. That's a big chunk of swallow.
Yeah. I mean, it just didn't, it didn't compute at all. I mean, the thing about, Russia, and then the thing about, playing out a loose scenario. So I just, I kind of said okay and went on with my life, but I remember a little bit later on I was reading a girly magazine, probably Gallery or something like that. I was reading an article about the JFK assassination, and in there was a line that said, oh, well, people talk about, the CIA, people talk about the mafia, and some people talk about the involvement of a secret society. And that brought that whole conversation back to me and said, now, what was my daddy trying to tell me, And so I started to do research, and how I do research is I read books. And so I started to, you know, mostly I start off trying to figure out how intelligence works and how, you know, how if you are a member of an intelligence agency, what it is that you'd be doing and stuff like that. And then I was talking to somebody, and I was telling them what my little research and a little bit of what my daddy said, and he looked at me and he told me, he says, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. And this was in the early 70s, and so I'm scratching my head and saying, what is a conspiracy theorist? And so, again, I'm going to do research, and I'm going to read books. And so I decided to go to every bookstore I could find, okay, religious, feminist, radical, just regular old bookstores, and said, okay, take me to your conspiracy section. And you know, Pastor Butch, all of them had at least one book, you know? And mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there, and I gather these books, and, you know, I got them in a pile there, and I'm starting to read them. And after a while, I start thinking, because, you know, I had a book that blamed it all on the Mormons. I had a book that blamed it all on the Roman Catholics. I had a book that blamed it all on the Jews. I had a book that blamed it all on the Masons. I had a book that blamed it all on the secular humanists, you know? So I started to think, well, now, wait a minute. These are like formula books, you know, trying to get people to throw stones at each other. And then I decided to take on conspiracy theory as an intellectual discipline. And it's a very wide discipline, lots of different subjects. And, the first thing I found out was that a conspiracy theory doesn't have to be true to be effective, okay, and make people believe something.
Yes.
You know? So one thing that I came out of that was, you know, don't be afraid to read things, okay, but be very careful on what you believe, you know? So it took me 20 years to figure out, you know, kind of what some of my daddy said. I came across in 1988 the book America's Secret Establishment, An Introduction to the Order of Skull and Bones by Professor Anthony Sutton. And all of a sudden, because my dad hadn't said Skull and Bones, he just said secret society. And it, you know, and my dad wasn't a radical guy at all. I mean, we just got your basic, you know, Life and Time and Newsweek type of magazines and stuff. Probably the most radical thing he got was Christian Century. And because one of the things that saved my dad was he'd been a lay preacher. Generally once a month we'd be at, you know, some other church, and, you know, he'd give his thing, and then we'd be go eating chicken dinner with folk, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that I really think that's what, you know, led him to say no when he was offered, I mean, a life-changing bribe, you know. So I just continued to, once I came across Professor Sutton's book, it started to make, you know, more sense.
Well,
but
Chris,
by
let me
that
ask
time,
one question. Quick question. When your daddy walked away from the agency, did he not give him a hard time over it? Did he not threaten him? Or did he not do anything to try to stop him?
I thought about that later on, because when he talked to me in 1969, he said one reason he was talking to me then was because the piece of paper he signed said that he couldn't talk for 10 years, okay? And I thought about it later, and it really wouldn't have made much difference if he talked, because nobody would have believed him, okay? I mean,
well,
I
worked for an underling in the CIA myself in the Air Force in communications. I had to sign the same paper. I couldn't expose what I did for 10 years either, although I didn't think anything great about it, but I guess I knew some stuff that I wasn't supposed to tell. But I understand. And you're right. If I would, and I did tell people afterwards, they didn't believe me. But go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I was his son. I didn't believe him. I mean, it was because, you know, I didn't understand it. It just didn't, it didn't compute. It didn't make sense, you know. And so finally, after I read Sutton's book in 1988, I had a whole bunch of questions for my daddy, but he was real ill. He'd had Parkinson's for many years, and they'd been giving him some very heavy medication. And then he soon died in early 1990. Of pancreatic cancer. So I never really got to say, hey, Daddy, what did you mean? When he died, I got to go through his papers. And, you know, it's really funny. 2 days after he died, two guys showed up on my mom's doorstep and said, hey, we're here to go through his papers. And she let him in the door. But I found some very interesting papers and some of his more personal ones. And it led my research. And then I really started to study the subject I call CIA drugs, okay? And what the interesting thing was, when I looked, you know, hard at Skull and Bones was started by William Huntington Russell, whose family owned Russell & Company, which was the largest opium smuggler, American opium smuggler, and the third largest in the world. And the other co-founder was Alonzo Taft, a politician. Okay, so I kept looking at that, and you know, kept digging into it, and then I started to do a little bit of writing around Skull and Bones, and then you know, what do you do when you start writing? I was basically a musician, and I started writing about it, and you look to find somebody to publish it. So I started sending, you know, queries to magazines and publishers, and I only got one response back from a publisher called Farrell House, Adam Parfait. And he wrote me a letter and said that he didn't feel that he was ready to take on Skull and Bones, which completely floored me, because he'd done some really outrageous books, you know, about Satanists and all kinds of crazy things. And so that started me thinking, well, gosh, I might have to do this myself. And then I started running an email list, you know, the early internet. And it was called CIA Drugs, and we had a bunch of people on there, and there was this gentleman, Daniel Hopsicker, and he started decrying that he had a book in New York for 2 years.
All right, hang on, don't lose that thought. We're going to break here. Chris, hang on, don't lose that thought. Folks, back at the break, a lot more talk about. And phone calls if we have time next week, next half hour, because this is really important and really deep. So don't go away, right back at the break.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi folks, Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
All righty, folks, we'll get back. We're talking to Chris Milligan, and what an interesting story. Now, get phone calls, I promise you, if we have time this half hour. If you already called in, hang on, get to you as soon as you possibly can, because this is too interesting to pass up. And by the way, you heard him mention Melly Sears from Discount Gold and Silver. Next Wednesday, she'll be filling in for me if I get to go to the PA to Pittsburgh, get some things done. So she'll be filling with me. Like I said, you're not going to miss me at all. These people are filling for me, are great speakers, full information, and they'll do a great job. Now, back to our guest, Chris Milligan, and his information that he's passed on from his daddy and what he discovered himself. Now, Chris, you go right ahead. I'd hate to interrupt you, but we had to go to break there. Go ahead.
No problem. I appreciate it. So, like I say, I was running this email list called CIA Drugs, and there's one gentleman on there named Daniel Hopsicker, and he was decrying that he'd had a book with an agent in New York for a couple of years, and nobody was gonna touch it. And after hearing that a couple of times, I finally said, this was like 1999, I says, you know, I've got a computer on my desk, and they tell me I can make a book, you know. Come on out, and we'll make a book. And I actually had a friend and made a book for his wife, and so Daniel came out, and we made the book Barry and the Boys. And about CIA drugs and the mafia and stuff working together and different things. And so we put that together, and we sold some copies, and then Professor Sutton came at me. I'd become friends with him. An article I'd written about Skull and Bones had been up online, and I tried to get a hold of him earlier, and I through his publisher at that time, and I didn't hear anything. And then one day, all of a sudden, I got an email from him, and we'd become friends, and then Anthony told me, he says, you know, my book is going out of print. The people that were publishing it. It was a mom-and-pop print shop up in Montana. They were retiring and going to Arizona. And I said, Anthony, that can't happen. It's never been in hardcover. It's never been in libraries. And so I went out and borrowed $5,000 and started a publishing company, little knowing what I was doing. But an interesting thing was is that there was more than just Daniel's book circling New York. And so as soon as some of these people found out that, wait a minute, this guy is actually going to publish these books, they started sending me all kinds of different books that New York wouldn't publish. And so... and then I was, I'm a lucky guy sometimes, and I got with the first book that I did as Trine Day, America's Secret Establishment, Introduction to the Order of Skull and Bones, I designed a cover, put it in a contest, and got a distribution contract. So, when the internet first came along, it was fairly, for want of a better term, organic, okay? And because, like, this one article that I had written about George W. Bush and his membership in the Order of Skull and Bones, people were starting to think, well, can he get elected president when he's a member of this organization? And my article on Google was generally number one, two, or three. And then all of a sudden, one morning, I woke up, and it was way in the back pages, I just, continued to be presented with books that were telling a different story than what we're taught in school. And so I just kept at it, and now we've got over 180 books. It's up at trineday.com, and we did a book called One Nation Under Blackmail by Whitney Webb about the Epstein thing about 4 years ago. Okay, and then we've just done a lot of books that cover different things, CIA drugs, cover the JFK assassination, because one thing that I've found here is that these secret societies, when I was in college, I took a independent study. I studied magic and mysticism, not to try and do them, but try and understand them. And I'm really glad I did, because once I started studying Skull and Bones, I could see where they were using this type of framework for what they do. Okay? And it's just... Well, they're known also as the Brotherhood of Death, okay? And one of the things that they did early on, okay, was to take over our education system. Okay, they brought over from Prussia, because, see, the Prussians were very upset at their people because Napoleon beat them. And so the Prussian leaders started to take their boys and girls by bayonet point and started these schools that, instead of teaching you how to think, they teach you what to think. Okay, uh-huh. And dumb us down. And then the other thing that they did, because you see, these secret societies out in the shadows trying to influence things, it really helps if they have a lot of money, okay? Well, opium, when it's illegal and you sell it for 6-8 times what it's worth. You make a lot of money, okay? So these guys were just making oodles of money and fortunes. And then after the second opium war, opium became legal. And so it took a little while for people to figure out, wait a minute, I don't need you smugglers anymore. All I need to do is say, hey, India, send me a boatload. I'll pay for the duty and everything. And so they lost their cash cow. And, I was looking at it, and you could see where they had owned 85% of the emerging steel infrastructure in the Far East, the railroads and the steamships. But once opium became legal, you know, that started to go down. It got down to about 15%, and they sold it off to their German buddies. And then what they did was they fomented, through false flag and yellow journalism, the Spanish-American War. Okay, it's a bit of a story, but
you know, this we need 4 or 5 hours to cover all this. I mean, this is fascinating. You're going back a long time and showing the folks way back in the early 1800s. We started seeing all this stuff happening behind the scenes, so to speak. But I hate to rush you to move on. It's already about 22. We got about 18 minutes left. I do want to get a phone call or two if we can. Bring us up to what's going on in the last, say, the last 15, 20 years in this country. What do you see? It's still going on behind the scenes. I know that, and probably worse than what it was then. But what do you see happening now?
Well, there's one thing about these secret societies is we did this book out of Belgium that was based on a Belgian state police report, and they put somebody into the secret societal system and had them rise up to the tops. Okay, and what they found was there was a whole bunch of different organizations all called the Order, but there was different flavors. Okay, there could be a Catholic one, a Jewish one, a gay one, a woman one, whatever. Okay, and so these secret societies have worked together to buffalo us into positions, okay? And a lot of it had... William Howard Taft was sent over to the Philippines, okay, as the first civilian governor, okay? First, McKinley asked him to be on the Supreme Court, and then Roosevelt asked him to be on the Supreme Court. He said no. Finally, Roosevelt said, well, you'll be Secretary of War. He said, yeah, okay, I'll be Secretary of War. My daddy was Secretary of War. And what he did was, before he left the Philippines, okay, and came back to be Secretary of War, was he made opium illegal for the first
time. All right. Are you back?
Yeah, we got cut
okay.
off here. Sorry.
We did. And we got to move on, if we can, as quick as possible. I hate to rush you, but we got a little time left, and this is so interesting.
Yeah, I'll take some phone calls.
Okay. But you go ahead and finish this last story that he's talking about.
Well, basically, then William Howard Taft, making opium illegal for the first time in modern Asia means you need the smugglers again. And then he started the Hague and the Shanghai Convention, which gave us a prohibition on cannabis, coca, and opium, which allows these guys in the shadows to sell plants for more than gold, which gives them this big, huge amount of money, which then they spread out to corrupt everything. And basically, we have people using secrecy to lie, cheat, and steal.
Well, what boils down to then, Chris, is this goes back a couple hundred years. It goes back a long time that this corruption started in our country. And I know it didn't, it was started, I guess we say, on a much smaller scale, but it certainly has permeated the whole society in the last 50 years for sure. And I watched this nation in my lifetime go from somewhat of a godly, moral society to a totally corrupt, uneducated, immoral people that had the knowledge and wisdom educated out of them in a public school system, and the morals tied out of them in most churches today. I mean, the morals not being tied anywhere any longer. But we're watching this fall apart, and now we live in a time now, in my mind, that the corruption is like stage 4 cancer. It's everywhere. It's messed aside all through the body. It's nothing that it hasn't been touched by, but now as a whole, very few politicians, in my mind, I say, are run on a pure motive. Is that your opinion also?
Well, yeah, I mean, I love America, and I love government of and by and for the people. Okay, and these forces, especially since the Spanish-American War, have been able to really dig themselves into the American and change it. Okay, one of the first things they did was, they got in the income tax. Okay, then they got in the fake money. Okay, they got in. We get that. What do we need to do? We need to get the people in debt. Okay, World War One. Okay, then World War Two. And in World War Two, they did a little thing called the victory tax. You know, and they said, we got to beat those people. And you know what? You aren't even going to have to lick a stamp here. We're going to go directly to your employer and take the money. Okay, that's when withholding started. Okay, which gave the federal government much more money for these guys to play with. Okay, so yeah, the corruption has been terrible.
It's been multiplied, to say the least. Let's take a phone call from Virginia. Let's talk to Luther. Luther, welcome. Come on in.
Thank you, Pastor Butch.
You're welcome.
And hi, Chris. It's amazing how this all coincides with the conversation I had with a couple of church members today after prayer. We started talking, and I can only touch on all these things. There was so much, but everything you're saying is just like, wow, right on target. So we started with Operation Paperclip, where Nazi scientists were brought over, and it went into how they infiltrated the CIA. Then we touched on a certain member talked about. I'm not sure if either of you have heard of Kathy O'Brien.
Oh yes, I've heard you on the radio show several times. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and this person had interviewed her 10 or 11 times. And so I didn't know about it, but there's so much I was trying to recall when I call when we talked, and it's not all coming back to me.
Sometimes it's a little bit of an overload. I understand that, but go ahead, share what you can.
It definitely is. Yeah. Let's see. Sorry, I'm just
that's all right.
Drawing a blank.
The CIA drugs. There was CIA drugs, the transport of narcotics, and then there's also CIA drugs, the dark side. You know, the MK Ultra and all of that. And Skull and Bones is actually an outgrowth of a chapter of a German secret society. Okay, but within these secret societies, your allegiance is to the secret society. It is not to your country. Okay, so they'll even do quote unquote dirty to their own country if it helps create the narrative that they are looking to create.
Of course, and I think both all of us can see the fact that we've been taken over. You know, do you remember Khrushchev? Both of y'all remember Khrushchev back in the '50s. Nikita Khrushchev.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He beat
his shoe in the podium, and he said he's going to conquer us without firing a shot, basically, and that's what's happened. Through our education system, through our corrupt officials, they've taken us over. We're now a socialist nation, to say the least. We now have a communist socialist and a mayor in New York and a mayor and a governor of New York. I mean, we see, and look at California. We see the whole thing come together in our lifetime. I don't hold you, our Luther, but Chris and I both have the same age. So we've seen it all come to pass.
I'm 74, so I see you more in later life than I did early life. But
our eyes become open later in life, too, for one thing. We start seeing we know what we're looking for. Any comments very quickly, Chris?
Again, one of their tactics is to get us to fight each other, back and forth. And again, government of and by and for the people, and what our founding fathers, put up with, and then what they were able to accomplish here is quite something, and it's really sad to see the corruption.
Well, it is. When we were warned, even by Washington, about the two-party system would destroy the country, we saw all that. We just didn't believe it. But a house divided cannot stand. Christ said so. And folks, I'll say this right up front. The church was to be the light of the world. The church was to be the light and the guide of this nation. The church pulpits in America today are either intentionally corrupted or ignorantly corrupted, but in mass are corrupted. They have no idea what the truth is. You don't want to bring this kind of information to the church. It confuses people. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear the little sermonettes and go home, feel good about themselves. America has died because the church in America has led it down the road to the graveyard. Luke, is there anything else you want to say?
Well, just thank you for letting me have my moment. And I just wish I could recall everything else, but it's time's limited, so.
Well, we'll catch up on something later on then. You feel free to call back sometime, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. And folks, lines are open, 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. I watched this nation starting back in the 60s, I guess, more than the other time in my lifetime. I can remember when it started with the hippie movement, the free loving, and the all the nonsense went on there. I have to agree that the hippies knew what they were saying. They went about it the wrong way. They become, I guess you say, antisocial and antisocietal to a fault. It isn't because they were wrong in their beliefs about the war and different things. They just went about it the wrong way, and it made people turn people against them. So that was a dividing, I think, the beginning of the 50s and the 60s were the beginning decades of division in this country. What do you think about that, Chris?
Well, we all together, you know, have a fail-safe device. So, you know, we just don't go jump off the cliff and there's no more humanity, okay? And the first fail-safe device is known to us as the dialectic. And I say some things that I know are true about secret societies, intelligence agencies, and drug running, okay? And then I hear somebody who I know is a spook, okay, say stuff a little bit more outrageous. They put some lies into it, okay? Because by controlling the extremes, you control the middle, okay? So then the next fail-safe device that we have is known as the cycle of generations. There's a very good book called Generations, A History of America's Future. Okay, and in this book they show how, and you basically you have an idealistic group, then you have a reactive group, then you have a civics group, then you have a group that recombines it all. Okay, and in this book they show how the idealistic group in the 1860s, the kids that were teens and preteens in the 1860s, they didn't cohere as a generation. Okay? Some of them joined the generation after, some of them joined the generation before, some of them just went out in the woods and did weird stuff, okay? And the reasons why this group didn't cohere, okay, was because of war, the assassination of a president, and then drugs, okay? The soldier's disease, right? And because we were a four-cycle engine only running on three cycles, okay, it made it easier for the people in the shadows to affect us. And so that is one reason why Skull and Bones was able to get their hooks into our government so big time through the Spanish-American War.
Well, let's talk to Frederick. Let's talk to Frederick right here in West Virginia. Frederick, come on in. Welcome.
Yes, hi, Chris. I want to thank you. Did you publish Whitney Webb's book, One Nation Under Blackmail?
Yes.
I want to thank you. That is, I don't see how anybody could not have that book on their bookshelf and be interested in the truth about what's going on in this country. You know, Stuart Webb, when he was an Oath Keeper leader there before January 6th, he had on his webpage how the FBI operates. They get dirt on somebody, and then if that person is cooperative, they classify the dirt, and if they're not cooperative, they leak it to the press. So I think Whitney Webb's book is an expansion on that to two volumes of all kinds of shenanigans like that.
Yeah. I heard her talk somewhere, and I contacted her, and I said, you must have a book in you somewhere. And she said, yeah, I think I do. And then because of the pandemic and she got pregnant, it took a little bit longer for her to get it to me. And by the time she got it to me, it was, 1,000 pages, 900, 1,200 pages. And I said, people aren't going to sit and read a big tome like that. So we split it into two books. But yes, she did incredible work, I'm so honored and glad that we got that book out there, because I really think it helps explain some of the situation that we're in right now.
Okay, by the way, to give the folks one more time how they can contact you through your website and order your books.
Okay, it's trineday.com, TRINEDAY.com. My email address is on there. My phone number is on there. And, we got an 800 number, and Lord have mercy, I answer it too much myself,
You're just a regular guy like we are. Frederick, anything else you want to say? We're down about the last minute and a half here. Anything else you want to add, Frederick?
Well, just keep the books coming. I'll keep buying them and reading them.
So I thank you, Frederick, for the call. Appreciate it. We're down about the last minute and a half here. This hour went by so quickly. Now, I'll tell you what, Chris, we're not finished yet. We got to do some more of this sometime in the future, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. You just get a hold of me, Pastor Butch. And
I'm going to keep your number here.
I'll be on the other line. We're old folks. We're used to phones.
Absolutely. That's what we do. That's what we done. Course, we started out with rotary phones. So, yeah. That's going back a while. But I want to thank you for what you're doing.
Well, go ahead. I thank you. I appreciate it.
But let's keep in touch, please. And I'm going to email you so I can get you on the list. I'm going to add you to my email list for our news updates. And to receive a Minuteman news that we send out every month. But thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.
And we'll be in touch. Folks, I want to say, what a powerful, powerful a testimony, story, article, spoken article you put, information that's so powerful. This goes back way, way back in this country. The rot just didn't start back in 1950. It started clear back in the late 1700s and grew quickly from there. That's why we went to the first Second War for Independence in 1861. It started and it's multiplied since then. Yes, we've had a somewhat decent nation, at least up for the last 50, 60 years. After that, it started falling apart very quickly. That's America today. And don't forget now, folks, I probably won't be here next week. I'm hoping to get some surgery done. I'm hoping it's going to work out. I won't know till tomorrow. But don't worry about next week. I have some great fill-in hosts. Summer will be on Tuesday night. Mel will be on Wednesday night. I'm trying to think Monday night. I've forgotten already. You all have a great night. And let's talk tomorrow in the office. 800-777-4403. Or 304-846-4448. Good night. God bless.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.